You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a beautiful day. Looking outside here at our Amherst studio, we've got the leaves changing colors. Like, it's that nice bit of fall here. I mean, it's late for us in Buffalo here, Josh, but you got that nice little bit of fall. The leaves are changing, the whole thing. And then it's what, going to be like 70 today? I'm in a hoodie and jeans, and I feel like it's going to be too warm for me.
Yeah, I wore jeans and like a light quarter zip this morning, and I walked out the door, and I'm like, this was a mistake.
Yeah, the quarter zip not needed, which is surprising.
Yeah, so I love it.
I had the same mistake. Mm-hmm. I wore jeans and a golf hoodie, and I was like, I should have worn shorts as soon as I walked out of the door. But it was too late, so I was just like, yeah.
But look at us. Look at us being brainwashed by the weather.
That's the key. To go home first and change into shorts.
That's right. Well, that's my thing. I change for the weather I'm going to leave work for.
That's fair, because it might actually be kind of colder. Well,
the sun now goes down at, 2:30. Yeah. I'm being mean, but, it goes
down
early.
No, you're not wrong.
I can see the sun doing the curve at that point.
Yeah, like the sun is already at its peak, I think.
But so when I leave it, like, you know, depending on the day, 7 or 8, it's dark.
Yeah.
And it could be cold. But, yeah, so I always dress for that. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is trade deadline day. Bills got in on that earlier a few weeks ago when they added Amari Cooper. Today we've had a few trades, but it's slowed down quite a bit. The last trade was made about an hour ago when the Cowboys, in my personal opinion, overpaid for wide receiver Jonathan Mingo from the Carolina Panthers, sending them a fourth-round pick, which feels incredibly weird when you remember DeAndre Hopkins was traded for a conditional fifth. But, to each their own. Good job, Jerry. I don't know. At some point, I feel like Steven should step in and go, Dad, I think it's time. But that's just me.
Hey, I think a lot of Cowboys fans would agree with you. I mean, it's just, it's funny at this point. I'll sit and laugh. It's great.
That's the worst part for me, Josh. I hate bad football. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Cowboys bad football, though, is comedy.
See, it kind of is for me. I know you want to get to something here because the New Orleans Saints also bad football.
Good.
We'll get to there in a second.
You're
but
good.
For me, I have to get this point out from last night's game. And even for the Cowboys, I like it to a certain extent. I want good games, though. Mm-hmm. I want them to lose, but I want good games. I want to feel like the game is moving forward.
Lose in heartbreaking fashion.
Watching the two games, and I tweeted this last night, the two games I sat with the most this weekend was obviously Bills-Dolphins, and then last night's game, Tampa Bay and Kansas City. And both those games, I watched conservative coaching absolutely kill their teams. Watching Mike McDaniel multiple times not go for fourth downs and kick field goals against a Bills team that you've seen, due to you and other teams this year, that in the second half, they explode. And specifically with the Dolphins, they can start killing you at any moment, if not the entire game. So kicking field goals is a non-solution. It only hurts you. It is effectively a turnover. The Bills seeing 3 points go on the board instead of them going for fourth is a huge win, even if they won't admit it themselves. And watching that, just incredibly frustrating. And then, to be fair, and I heard Chris Brown say this on the broadcast, and I had to look it up because I was genuinely stunned, they're the worst fourth down team in the NFL. By quite a bit. I think their success rating is like below 20%. I think it's like 18.5. How, with all that speed and the offensive mind of Mike McDaniel, are you that bad on fourth down in the year of our Lord 2024 in the NFL? That is insanity.
Did we all jump the gun on Mike McDaniel a little bit? I mean, I think he still has that offensive mindset.
He has failed multiple tests in a row.
Yeah, he just kind of falls short a lot more than you really want him to in the game.
It's not even the falling short. I think the first big test he failed in terms of being the offensive wizard mind, whatever you want to call it. And we brought this up. We brought it up last week talking about Miami. Bringing in a backup quarterback and having your offense move to a somewhat similar level. You mm-hmm. see Kevin O'Connell's able to do it, and I mean, he's kind of doing it now with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has kind of shown you since his breakout to start this year, he's still Sam Darnold. You're not going to give him this amazing, I think teams will, but you shouldn't give him this amazing contract to get it done. Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love has gotten hurt a lot this year, and they keep going to Malik Willis, and it keeps working.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost to Detroit, but they keep winning games.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen other teams have to go to backup quarterbacks, and they're okay. Are they their perfect self? Absolutely not, but they're okay. Miami was unplayable.
Yeah, we're about to find out, too, if Dallas is going to do that. I mean, Cooper Rush
probably
is
not.
Remember the last time Cooper Rush came in? It wasn't that bad.
Stud. And then last night's game. Todd Bowles. You are on the road. You are playing a significantly better team than yourself, and you're playing them well. Mm-hmm. You are moving the ball on offense without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Baker Mayfield is playing a great game. Cade Otton is emerging as a star at the position over the last month. And you don't go for two after you score with 27 seconds left because of the wet conditions. Let's not forget either the calling the timeout to not take any more time off the clock when you're on the 2-yard line.
It's just
unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Tampa Bay fan. I'm not even necessarily, I like Baker Mayfield. I like watching him do well because I think he got burned bad by Cleveland. But watching that, come on. And this is where, I said this last night too, the amount of bad coaching in the NFL is astounding. And I know we all sit with McDermott probably too long. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. When it's your favorite team, you probably pay attention to your own team too much. You start picking out all the warts on your favorite sports franchises because that's the team you love, and I get it. But outside of like a few bad games where he clearly shelled up a little bit, he's been great at going on fourth down. He's a defensive guy. The Bills are a team you never really are worried that are, and if they don't, you're stunned by it. They now routinely will go for fourth and ones, fourth and twos. Is it because Josh Allen's their quarterback? Sure. If you got a weapon, use them.
That's something new this year, too. I mean, that has not been the Bills of years past, which I love to see. Because it's not only that it's working, but it shows that you're aggressive. It shows that you're ready to go out there and just take control of the game.
Do you mean going for fourth downs or using Josh as a weapon?
Well, both. But going for fourth downs more importantly.
Because fourth downs, since McDermott's gotten here, they've been aggressive.
There's times, though, where...
He's shelled up. I'm not saying he's not, but he has never been somebody that is afraid to go for a fourth down.
Maybe it's just recency bias, but I'm thinking back to like the Philly game last year.
No, that's what I mean.
That's the tough part.
He has had moments where he has shelled up.
You don't think about the fourth down tries because they do happen at a decent amount, but you think about the ones that don't work, or you think about the ones where, hey, why
it doesn't go? Yes, 100%.
And I think that is like still part of. Up to this point has been a problem, but this year has not really been an issue.
But man, that game frustrated the hell out of me. It really did, watching Tampa just go right down the field and then the timeout and then kicking the extra point. And I'm like, you left them 26 seconds and two timeouts. They just need a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. For Bills fans, that scar tissue is never going to go away. But come on. That is ridiculous. And then again, the overtime thing, you are hoping and praying you win a coin flip.
Yeah,
that is insane.
I'm watching right now Baker's reaction to the coin toss. He just looks up to the sky. Just
like,
there it is. Yeah,
it is insane.
It's
and the constant
so frustrating.
It always feels like coaches are terrified they actually will lose their job the next day. That some of the callers that do call into post game shows will actually be right, and a coach is just randomly fired because of one bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're fired for a number of things. Dennis Allen, you can't lose seven straight and then lose to Carolina being the set. You can't. That's why you get fired, not because a one bad decision against a team that is clearly better than you and you had them on the ropes. But that will look poorly on you later.
Right, it does add to the problem. It's not just going to go away.
It frustrated me. Oh, it made me so, so mad that those were the two games I was sitting with, and I'm just like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And it more frustrated me because one's considered, or I think you're right, he is losing his luster, is Mike McDaniel, this offensive genius, and the other guy's Todd Bowles, the defensive guy. But they're both, to me, making a very similar mistake, and it's just... Again, we don't, for the most part, have to worry about the Bills with that. They are aggressive on fourth downs. They punish teams for making it fourth and one. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. It's one of the things where defensively the Bills have handled that problem. Like, they established the fact of, hey, if you go for it on fourth, you're probably not going to get it. So that's what makes these teams go into just, I'm just going to kick the field goal or I'm going to punt it away.
So bad. And for me, it's more of an indictment on McDaniel that they're the worst fourth down team in terms of percentage of success rate. It's just so bad. But another terrible team has, of course, been the Saints. And you've got an interesting thing that you've wanted to talk about here.
So we have some betting odds for the next Saints head coach. Nick Veronica from Channel 4 tweeted this out a little while ago. So there's some interesting names on this list. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning is listed on here at 100-1.
We are so back.
At the very bottom.
So back.
He is tied with odds with Brian Kelly both at 100-1 to coach the Saints. Right above them at 50-1, Pete Carroll.
Why is Brian Kelly on the list?
Right.
Let's not act like Louisiana likes them. They tolerate them.
Right, yeah. You also have Pete Carroll on here. You have Lincoln Riley, Nick Saban, Matt Nagy, Deion Sanders.
Oh, boy.
Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, there right now is the offensive coordinator. Or no, I'm sorry, that's not him. Clint Kubiak is there. Same type of name. Sorry about that. Cliff Kingsbury, though, making his triumphant return to the NFL with the Saints. That'd be hilarious. But no, the interesting one is the top two.
The interesting... You mentioned Peyton Manning first.
Yeah, I know. But the interesting one is who's not number one and who is. Not number one is Ben Johnson. He's at 4-1 odds at number two.
Because he's not going to take the job.
Well.
They're going to offer it to him 100%. Yes. He's going to hang up the phone. He might even spit on his phone as a sign of disrespect.
At number one, we have Joe Brady. Bill's offensive coordinator. At 3-1 odds to become the Saints' next head coach. Obviously, it would happen in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That might be interesting.
That might be a serious possibility for the sheer fact. I don't think Joe Brady, they're running a successful offense. I don't think he's done himself a ton of favors, though, in terms of being like, what we all sort of think will happen with Bills offensive coordinators is if they succeed, they're just going to walk into a head coaching opportunity.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, Ken Dorsey got fired, and now Joe Brady, I think, it's been a real mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for him could be something of where I want to get a head coaching job and they're offering it.
How is Belichick not on that?
He is. He is. 14-1.
Oh, he's a little lower. Okay.
Yeah. Brian Flores is also on there too. Interesting.
Yeah. No, I get that. The Minnesota defense has been spectacular. I told you.
Brian Flores below Bill Belichick.
Okay. Well, no, I think because a lot of people just assume Bill Belichick like is desperate to get back in the league, and so he'll do it.
There are just some of the names though I listed off, but
constraints they have, the lack of talent.
Yeah.
I think it's an ugly job to get. I feel like you are going to be sort of, you know, the last guy that gets a chair in musical chairs. You're like, I guess I'm the Saints head coach. I guess I got a Frankenstein monster this.
Let's say there are other teams next offseason that want to offer Joe Brady a head coaching position. This is probably the last one he takes. Same with Ben Johnson. Same with a lot of guys on this list. Guys that would take this, probably someone on here, Mike Vrabel. I think he would take this job. Just because of the fact of trying to get somewhere.
Vrabel would fit like a glove for the sheer fact that they would just be like, don't even worry about the cap. Like, whoever, we'll figure out the cap. You just build a culture.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot for the life of me figure out why Tennessee got rid of him.
Would Belichick take this job?
I feel like Belichick would take any job that gives him a GM role.
Ooh.
I don't think the Saints would do that, though. No, because I think they're going to keep Loomis.
Mm-hmm.
But... I would not be surprised if Belichick took that. If it were to just full control, which wouldn't be that surprising. I mean, they are in a bad spot. That is a team that has refused to acknowledge that even retools are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are in one of the worst. I fully believe it is the worst head coaching opening, and that includes the Jets.
Yeah.
Because they are just in the worst financial spot, and there's really no talent. Even your young wide receiver in Chris Olave that you can maybe build around, I just don't know about the longevity of his career with how many concussions he keeps piling. I feel for him, man.
Oh,
that hit against Carolina, I mean, my heart like sank just because he keeps picking up injuries. I just don't know about the longevity of his career. It's the worst head coaching opening. I mean, by quite a stretch. And then even this year, you're maybe getting a high pick on a bad quarterback class. So it's not even like you're sitting here going, oh, but at least we're going to, you know, for argument's sake, we're going to get Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
No, you're going to get probably like Quinn Ewers, and you're going to be sitting there going, let's take an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or what have you, and then hope to be bad next year. I just don't know if the Saints, because they've proven they really don't, I don't know if the Saints have the stomach to tear it down, be bad for 2 or 3 years, and then rise up again. Even though you're in a division, it's perfectly set up for that. It is perfectly set up for that. Carolina can't get out of its own way. Good for them. They won a game. They're still terrible. Tampa Bay is sort of built for the short term now with Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. It's sort of a short-term build. And honestly, so is Atlanta with Kirk Cousins. We don't know what Penix is going to look like once he gets slotted into the quarterback spot.
Right.
So if you're in New Orleans, be bad for 2 or 3 seasons. Go get somebody. Again, for argument's sake, Arch Manning, because it'd be a nice story. Archie to Arch, you know.
All right.
I mean, it took 6 decades, but we got there. And then go on from there. I don't think they have the stomach for it because they've shown they don't even believe in retools. They believe in let's sign cheap free agents, go get Derek Carr and keep on keeping on. It's like, no.
Right.
You know, when Drew Brees retired, you had a talented lineup, but it was not built for sustainability. And they just keep pushing everything back and back and back. You got to pay that bill, though.
That's got to be on the ownership,
no
too, right?
I mean, yeah, there's no dining and dashing in this.
Yeah.
You pay the bill.
And that's got to be on the ownership in terms of just being able to admit when it's over and when you're ready to do a rebuild. I mean, this is the perfect time for them to do a rebuild, I think, because you're probably going to be in the top five, maybe top 10 if you get lucky in some wins here, but probably going to be in the top five in the draft. You could take a quarterback, but you could also just take, I don't know.
The best player available.
A Travis Hunter.
Ooh, would he play in New Orleans?
Probably not. Deion is listed on here as potential next coach.
On him, though? Colorado.
Yeah.
Way to go. No, in all seriousness, like we kind of attacked him a lot, most of us, for the offseason because they were very vocal.
I did not like them coming into the season.
And it was a bad game to Nebraska, but outside of that, they've been very good this year. Good on them. It looks like Deion's building a program. I want to see a little bit more years of success, like past Shedeur Sanders.
Right, but
before
no.
I'm going to offer him a head coaching job in the NFL.
But see, that's the thing, is he's not going to do that. He's just absolutely not going to do that.
I don't know. I'm starting to move off my prediction of he's going to leave after this year. I'm starting to move off it a little.
Why?
Because I think actually they are building a good program.
They are, but he's going to want to just follow his son, which is fine, I guess. Also, a great business plan.
I don't think NFL teams are going to look at him and go, "Oh yeah, you're definitely a success," or even you're going to put butts in seats. I don't think that's how NFL teams are looking at it. Colorado did burn a lot of its, positivity points last season and into this offseason. They're nice. They're fun. They're good. But you notice even if they've gotten good, they're not showing up on ESPN.
Right.
They're not showing up on Fox Sports. They're less interesting now that they're winning. Mm-hmm. So I think it's sort of the same thing of like, they're not even going to be in the Big 12 championship. They'll probably play in a nice bowl game. If they get to 10 wins, it's awesome. They get to 9 wins. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take some time. And, I heard Nick Saban's name on there. No.
Kirby Smart's also on here.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, granted, some of these guys are like way down on the list. Like Ron Rivera's there too.
I do wonder, actually, real quick on this. I actually do wonder, with the changing landscape of college football and having to attack the transfer portal and potentially losing like 25 of your players every year and having to augment that with transfer portal and high school kids, I do wonder if Kirby Smart, who's already won multiple national titles, has done what he has done. Goes, you know what? I'm going to go to the NFL. The South loves me. I don't necessarily know if New Orleans does, but you know what? I've done my bit. I'm going to go there. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. My legacy is still secure. Look how all of us treat Nick Saban's 2 years in Miami. It's an afterthought. It barely gets a chapter in his book. Maybe not even. It'll probably get two paragraphs. It'll be like, he went there, he didn't get Drew Brees, he left. I mean, that's what the Miami Dolphins thing is going to be. I just they are the least interesting opening if I'm a head coaching prospect. And, the main character of that is going to be Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for Detroit. He 100% is going to be the main guy. He's going to – I joke, but he's going to look at that job and laugh. Look what he did this past offseason. He didn't take a job. And you look at the Washington one now and you go, oh, man, that may have actually been a miscue. You probably should have taken that. Their defense is pretty good. You would have had your pick of Jaden Daniels or Drake May at the time. And ultimately, I feel like either of them probably you feel pretty good about. Drake May is just playing with basically no talent on New Orleans while Jaden Daniels hit the ground running, and he's got some good talent as well. But, he's probably, that's a bit of a misfire, but it also sounds like he's looking at Chicago and Matty Eberflus is gone. There's no shot.
Oh, yeah.
There's no shot. They're waiting on that one. There's no shot. I mean, they get outcoached almost every game. And then you look around at the offense, too. It's a joke. Chicago is going to look at that and go, we need an offensive guy. I could totally imagine just the big trucks of money that, like, Jalen Ramsey used to show up in Jacksonville when he got his contract, just rolls up to his house and is like, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
You want to own
half of Chicago? We got you.
I'm once again asking Ben Johnson to go to the Chicago Bears so that way we can have the best revenge story twice a season. Between him and Dan Campbell.
I just want the NFC North to be like the coolest division.
They already kind of are. I mean, they kind of are pretty fun at this point. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, and then
the Bears have fallen off a little bit, but the Packers and Vikings and Lions, like those three teams have been amazing. The Lions are probably going to win the Super Bowl. Who would have thought that 2 years ago?
That's gonna be so cool.
Like that two. If you would have told me 2 or 3 years ago, hey, the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl in 2024, I would have laughed in your face.
Wait, because 2 years ago, it was like we just came off like a 2-win season. Are you serious?
Yeah, and 3 years ago, weren't they on Hard Knocks?
Maybe on Hard Knocks. I just remember the video of Jared Goff's wife in his first season, like freaking out because they won their first game. It was like week 12. And it was like that's the Lions for you. But, yeah. I mean, now you look at them and they're amazing. But right. That division would be so cool. Ben Johnson, Chicago. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. I love Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
And then Dan Campbell in Detroit.
And then Dan Campbell in Detroit, who
I
think
is the defensive guru.
But he's an offensive guy.
Not special teams. Sorry, not defensive.
But you'd have that there, and it should be like, this is a really cool division. And then I think most people know how I feel about J.J. McCarthy. I think he's going to be awesome for Kevin O'Connell and everything they're doing there.
And if you get the right person in Chicago, I think Caleb Williams can definitely be something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that along with Roma Dunze, I just think they haven't, like you said, they've been outcoached every single game they've been in. They've been outcoached. And the Bears were fun to start the season, but they've kind of fallen off a little bit here. They've lost their last two, so it's not great. But they do have the Patriots next, so you can get back in the win column there, probably.
you can get back in the win column there. It's being hopefully good for you. Drake May versus Caleb Williams. Must watch TV.
Ooh,
here we go.
Interesting. I didn't think about that. Then you got the Packers.
Did you see that Drake May touchdown, by the way, to force overtime?
Did you see number 74? I don't know who it is on the Patriots.
He was trying his best.
He was not. He was not doing anything.
For those that didn't see the play, this poor offensive lineman, he was looking for anyone block.
He will be named because it was atrocious.
Anyone to block and couldn't find anybody. And then everyone started attacking angles and he just couldn't get to anybody.
You can't have the name Michael Jordan and have a performance like that.
Of course it is. Oh no.
Michael Jordan, number 74 on the Patriots, was lost in space.
He was looking for anyone to block. I felt so bad. I'm like, this man wants to try. He wants to be a part of this.
He could have fallen back to where Drake May was and potentially blocked back there, but no, he stood his ground. He stood on the line of scrimmage and waited. And then three guys rushed at him and he just threw his hands up like, I don't know what to do.
And it's fair. That's fair.
That is fair. But you could have slowed down one of them. Like, just try to get in their way. Like,
just pick your poison. It's like, I'm going to get one of them, but two of these guys are going to fly by me.
Yeah, try to pick the best looking one, and then,
Who looks the most dangerous?
Who looks the fastest?
Oh, boy. Drake May, though, forced overtime. Very, very Josh Allen-esque. I'm going to scramble around, and then just out of nowhere, your jaw's on the floor, touchdown pass, Ramondre Stevenson, Quentin Morris this weekend. I think they've got somebody in Drake May. But they need a lot of help talent-wise. But I think they've got the quarterback. Now it's up to New England to not fail him, to not do what the Chargers have done to Herbert, where it took to year 5-6 for them to finally get him a head coach worth anything.
Yeah, and even still, they're having problems. Like, the Chargers are better than usual, but they're still chargering.
It's the Harbaugh effect, man. I was saying in the offseason when they got him, I'm like, I don't love that. I thought it would take a little bit longer. You do have a limited shelf life, though, with Jim Harbaugh as your head coach. They've got about 5 years before he burns out his welcome with ownership, but I think they're going to be a playoff team this year.
Oh, I think so, too.
Be a playoff team for every year he's there.
Right now, they're in the second wild card spot, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at 5-3.
Yeah, they're dangerous, man. They are dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And they have
especially, I mean, you got Denver, Indy, Cincinnati, and the Jets are, I guess, would say the team's chasing you. Cincinnati's the one I'm worried about.
I would say Denver's up there too, but Cincinnati definitely, because of the fact of, you know, they can turn it on as the season goes on.
LA did beat Denver the first time around at Denver. The next time they'll get them Sunday, December 22nd at home. So, telling you, Chargers could be interesting. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to switch to hockey as surprise last-minute addition. Paul Hamilton going to join the show after a quick timeout as the Sabres get ready to take on the Ottawa Senators later tonight from KeyBank Center. That's going to be a 6 p.m. pregame, Steve Foley Law pregame show, and a 7 p.m. puck drop. We'll get more on the Sabres coming up next. You're listening to WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging out with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The Buffalo Sabres do have a hockey game tonight at home. Steve Foley Law pregame show getting going at 6 p.m. for a 7 p.m. puck drop. And for more, as we get ready for tonight's game, we welcome in on the Western Hotline, Paul Hamilton. Paul, good morning. How are we doing today?
I'm well. How are you guys?
I'm good. Paul, I'm a little frustrated, though. We were feeling good with the vibes. Three-game win streak. Everything looked good, and now they've lost three in a row.
Yeah, they've ruined everything they had gained.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's a real eye-opener when you look at the standings and realized the Buffalo Sabres with a 375 points percentage. Only one team in the whole NHL is worse. One, the San Jose Sharks. That's it.
All right, baby. 2015 all over again. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's it.
Oh, man.
So this, there was a lot, and rightfully so. Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams talked about, you know, they needed to get off to a fast start. And instead of being Thanksgiving, here we are 12 games into the season at Halloween, talking about having to leapfrog pretty much the whole league to try to get into playoff spots. And it's just, you can't put yourself behind the eight ball by it like this. And it's really simple. I mean, you everything you gained at 4-1-1 went away. But you can't survive when you have the league's worst power play, you're 26th in goals against, and 27th on the penalty kill. There is zero chance you will ever make the playoffs with that. You just won't. So it's just, you know, Lindy Ruff yesterday just plain and simply said, I don't want to hear about what we're doing good and we're improving here. We're doing. He goes, we got to win hockey games. That's all I want to hear about. That's it.
So, Paul, I was looking at the standings here, and I thought it was a little better than it actually is, but I'm just looking at the teams ahead of the Sabres in terms of wild card. I know it's very early. We're not talking playoffs exactly yet, but the teams ahead of them are also around the same. They're all around 500 for the rest of the Eastern Conference, aside from Washington, who occupies the current number one wild card spot. But every team ahead of you is better than you, yes, but not much better, right? It's not like it's this landslide runaway, the Sabres are already out of it kind of sort of thing. It's still ground you can make up.
You're still in the same problem that I've been harping about since I don't know how long. I never even look at the points. It's not the points. It's the amount of teams you have to leapfrog. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And usually it's around six I'm talking about. You know, Thanksgiving time, they've got, you know, it's like, well, if they were in ninth place and only 8 points behind what it was last year, or 6 points behind, or 7 points behind, that's not, you can do that. You can catch one team. But when you've got to catch six teams, that's when it becomes almost impossible, because six teams aren't going to go in the tank for you. And 2 years ago, when they came within a point of making the playoffs, they had to leapfrog six teams, and they kind of got by Pittsburgh. They wound up getting tied with Pittsburgh, which would have been the fifth team to get by, but Pittsburgh would have had the tiebreaker on them, so they had to actually have more points than Pittsburgh. They wound up tied with them, and, of course, they didn't catch Florida. So, you know, yeah, you had a great run. You played well after, you know, when the pressure was off, you played well after January 1st, but you couldn't leapfrog six teams to get in the playoffs, and that's where the problem lies.
Yeah, it's become a hope and a prayer that both you get good and go on extended runs and pick up loser points, what have you, while also, like you mentioned, six teams all of a sudden going in the tank. It's just, it's not a viable option to try to break this drought. And it's just, you know, Paul, I mean, they started off bad in Europe. They come back and games are starting to build. Okay, like they're starting to build some cohesion. Maybe it was the European trip. Then they go on the 4-1 and run and they win three in a row. They didn't do that until the second half of the season last year. And then, yeah, these last three games, it has been so deflating. You know, they can't get Dylan Cousins or Jack Quinn going. Cousins eventually finally got his goal, but I think from what I heard this morning here on our station when Lindy Ruff joined Jeremy and Joe, they're moving Cousins back to center. I assumed that him at the wing was going to go a little bit longer. I don't really know where to go with both the special teams, with the goaltending. I mean, you mentioned it. They're in the bottom five for pretty much all of it.
Yeah, he had already moved Cousins back by the third period. It didn't even last the whole game.
Yeah.
He put Paterka out there with them because that's a line that did well in the past. So, you know, he did that. Interesting, you know, we talk about goaltending too. Luukkonen stopped 21 of 23 shots against Detroit, lost 2-1. And I asked Lindy Ruff the question because I look at Luukkonen and I don't think he's as good as he was last year. I don't think he's awful. I think he's been okay. He's had some really good games, like against Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm.
He was excellent. But I don't think it's up to last year. And you hear me always talk about big saves at the big time. And I said, I'm not blaming goaltending, but are you getting enough big saves at the big time? And he said, but we're going to need bigger saves at key times. He talked about going to Dylan Larkin's power play goals in Detroit. And he says that's a goal where you want to save on that play. You know, he said Larkin just kind of flung it at the net. And he says, yeah, you do have to get big and timely saves because a goaltender, he mentioned, can more than anybody win you a game with the right saves at the right time. So it's just something that I don't think they're getting enough of, and he agreed with that. But I wouldn't say they're awful, but I don't think Luukkonen also is performing it the way he did last year either.
Yeah, and I think that is key too. Is like, I mean, I've seen and I've watched most of these games, and Luukkonen, you know, I'll turn it on. He makes one big save, and then it does feel like just an easy let up goal, and you're like, oh, all right. No,
I don't think he's had any easy let up goals. Is his goals that they're not easy mm-hmm. saves?
Yes, yes.
But there's saves, yeah, like the Larkin save or mm-hmm. a breakaway. It's not an easy save, but you hope he can bail your guy out. You know, that they, all right, they gave the puck away. Here they come, you know, on a breakaway. Can you bail your guy out? You know, that type of a save that's difficult. But, you know, I can think of maybe one, and was early against New Jersey, where he was floundering out of the net and he couldn't get himself square for the shooter, Hischier. And that went in. That might be the only goal I might mm-hmm. consider a bad goal that, you'd want that back. He hasn't had a lot of you want that back, but I don't think he's had enough of, oh, did you see that save?
Which has been mainly frustrating because in the Sabres right. play, the other goalie does that. It seems like often, if not every night, that a goalie makes a save where you're like, seriously? Like, of course it's against us that you just had the reflexes like the Matrix.
Yeah, no, exactly. So... that's another problem. That's a different problem where they make, you know, goaltenders that some of them maybe don't even belong in the NHL or just got called up and they look like Dominic Hasek. But that's a different problem than the Sabres goaltending.
Yeah, the Sabres. When the announcement comes out that they're playing a backup goalie, I start sweating bullets, Paul. It's not good. Do we have an update yet on Zach Benson, his health? Obviously, he goes to IR. It's not like the NFL IR. You've mentioned that a lot. But I did see Ruff talked about him a little bit today.
Yeah, it's trending. I mean, you know, it's trending in there that that he's going to play. But Ruff talked to us before the optional morning skate was over. And, you know, you look at it, he thought they were going to be fine. And but he said he wanted to talk to Benson again. Now, they didn't waive anybody yesterday because they will need a roster spot should he, you know, be able to play. So without waiving somebody, that's no longer an option. So if Benson does play, really their only option would be that I see as I look at the roster sending Kulik to Rochester. That would open up the roster spot to do that. And even if they did that or if they do that, I'm sure the message to Kulik would be you're going to be back. You know, right now we don't have any injuries. Teams get injuries. You know, when we have a roster spot, you're going to be back. You know, go down there, work hard for however many games it is, and when we need you, we're, you know, as long as you're, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing down there, you'll be back type of it. I think that would be my message to him if indeed he would be the guy to go down.
So, Paul, the Sabres play the Senators tonight, and then they're off to New York on Thursday, back at home for a few games over the weekend into next week. What's the vibe of this next week for you for the schedule? I mean, obviously tonight's a divisional opponent. It's a big game in terms of points on the board. But then the next two games, you're taking on New York, who's conference opponent, sure. But then you're taking on Calgary. It's a completely different conference. So it's obviously every game is important at this point due to how you started. But is there what's the pressure feeling like? Is it building up there yet? Or do you think it's still kind of lower on the lower end of things?
I've seen enough of when they play the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play, they could beat any team in the league. I thought they dominated Dallas, who to me might be the second best team in the league, to Florida. And so when they do what they're supposed to be doing, which isn't a lot, they'll be fine. You know, they could win two out of three games there or be in all three of them. So, you know, the Ranger game in New York's not easy, but I've seen them win in Madison Square Garden. I mean, you have to play a solid game, and you know they've got a goaltender that can slam the door on you. But, you know, it's kind of up to them. And, you know, we always ask about the opponent, but really for them, it's not even about the opponent anymore. It's about them. Mm-hmm. They got to figure out how they're going to play. And, you know, and don't worry about the Ottawa Senators tonight. You know what they are. If you go out and play the way you're capable of playing, make the Ottawa Senators worry about you. And if they do go out there and play the way they're capable of, the Ottawa Senators will have a problem. So that's the way they should be approaching it. And I know that's the way Lindy Ruff is approaching it. That, you know, just go out there and do what you're capable of doing, and that's going to cause problems for the other team.
All right, Paul. Thank you so much. We'll hear more from you when pregame comes around at 6 o'clock. Talk
to you then. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the West Hur Hotline. Yeah, I mean, they've got a rough few games here. Ottawa, I like Ottawa. They're 6-5, right, Josh? They don't have an overtime loss in there. I think they're just 6-5. I've liked them a lot. Allmark has been a really good addition for them. They get then New York Rangers later this week on the road. Yay. And then Calgary on Saturday. Calgary also at home. It's just...
They are 6. The Senators are 6-5.
6-5. It's just... And you even look at the teams above them in the Atlantic. They're right where they're supposed to be in terms of goal difference, which is they're in the negatives. And that's... It's just too much of the standard now. Montreal's minus 17. You're minus 6. Detroit's minus 6. And then Ottawa's the next team. They're plus 9. Then you got minus 8 Boston. But Boston's kind of been a weird team this year. Toronto's at plus 0. They're just kind of finding ways to sort of win games. But Matthews, I think, is week to week now.
He's out tonight.
Tampa's plus 6. Florida's plus 7. I mean, you're essentially right where you want to be. Or not where you want to be. Where you deserve to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... But that's the norm. And it... Like Paul said, too, it's like you barely even worry about the team you're playing. You worry more about what your team's going to look like night to night. Mm-hmm. I thought they had discovered something with that 3-0 run or that three-game win streak where it was like, hey, you know what? You may not win, you know, 7-8 games in a row, but you're putting a consistent product on the ice. You're proving to yourself you can be consistent and fight teams and maybe drag games to overtime.
Yeah, because even before that, before those three wins in a row, you gave up a bad loss to Columbus, but then mm-hmm. the night before that, you gave up an overtime loss to Pittsburgh, which, again, you forced a game to overtime.
But you got it to overtime.
Yeah. And that's, again, the moral of the story. If you can win if every five games you win three and you put one in overtime, that's a good season. Yeah. It's a great season.
But then, I mean, you lose 5-2 to Florida. You know, Florida had all their guns. I don't think a lot of us were expecting them to win that. But then, I mean, to lose 4-3 to the Islanders, an Islanders team that couldn't score going into that night.
I was at that game and...
Never allowed back in the building, Josh.
I was so... Listen, it might have been my fault. Sorry. Same. I didn't... Anyway.
When I went, they beat Florida.
But no, I mean, that New York game was the most frustrating game I've ever been to. It was... You have all the energies. Jason Zucker alone created enough energy to power the entire city of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I mean, that man had a fight, a goal, and an assist. He had a Gordie Howe hat trick. Who's the last Sabre to have a Gordie Howe hat trick? It actually might have been recently. They've been kind of scrappy lately. But anyway, the point is...
Cousins has had one.
Cousins has definitely had one. But the point is you had all of this momentum to feed on, and New York was rolling over and giving you that game, and you just could not stay in the driver's seat. You would get a lead, or you would... I actually don't know if they've led that game. No, they did right away. And then 40 seconds after Cousins scores that power play goal, you're tied again. You led for 40 seconds that whole game.
Yeah, because then you go down 3-1 because of a bad second period.
Mm-hmm.
Zucker
scores in the third just after missing a penalty shot and creating another power play. Or no, I'm sorry, he didn't score on the power play there. But he missed a penalty shot, and then in the ensuing draw, they contained the puck in the zone, and they scored. And then you give up another stupid goal at the other end of the ice, and then all of a sudden Owen Power, in the last minute of the game, scores a great goal.
But
it's too little too late.
Yeah, you kind of knew it wasn't going to mean anything
right.
in the long run. They're such a frustrating organization. And they're in for a tough week. But if they go on like a 6-game losing streak here, which they are fully capable of doing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like Paul said, we're not even at Thanksgiving, and it'll feel like the white flag is being waved.
And look, it's you're there. You're not very far off. Again, the Islanders game should have been a win. And
sure,
it's these games are like should be wins. So you can get there. It's just get the consistency.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. One more segment here before we get you over to Sabres Live at 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres Live coming up here in just under 10 minutes as we get ready for Sabres Senators coming up at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, it is also the NFL trade deadline today, the deadline being at 4 p.m. Eastern. Bills got involved a little bit earlier on in the fall, October-ish, with their trade for Amari Cooper. We have had three trades, though, today so far, them being Jonathan Mingo to the Cowboys, Za'Darius Smith to Detroit, and then Khalil Herbert going to the Bengals. And it's been pretty dead since then, although it was a very fast start, Josh. Yeah.
Zach, the PFF, PFF has out their
grades for this.
Grades.
Yes.
So the Lions far and away are the winners so far today. A-plus grade for their trade for Za'Darius Smith. And the Browns got a B-minus. That's not bad.
Good for them.
The Bengals get a B-plus for trading for Khalil Herbert. Bears get a C.
Okay.
Makes sense. Now the Cowboys.
Yeah, baby, let's go. Come on.
I'm upset with you, PFF.
No.
You give the Cowboys a C. C is passing.
That is very true. C's get degrees. This is a fact.
The Panthers got a B+.
I think, honestly,
the Panthers maybe could get an A- here.
I mean, for them to get a fourth round pick
for Jonathan Mingo.
But here's gonna be the problem. He's in his second year, and I think it was a second round pick they drafted him for. It's already one of those where it's like,
right. That's fair.
The value already doesn't look great.
Their description here is Mingo has struggled to make an impact at the NFL, but the Cowboys are betting on traits that made him a second-round pick. The former Ole Miss standout has averaged less than 1 yard per route. Not per reception, per route.
That is not good.
That's crazy.
Also, thing that we didn't point out today, I saw this a lot on Twitter. Khalil Herbert going to the Bengals, their third ever in-season trade for the Cincinnati Bengals. I haven't even looked up the other two. I don't care. The fact that they've only had three in-season trades.
Throw a parade.
Bravo.
Have a parade.
Way to just stick to what you are. Love that. That's going to do it for me and Josh. We'll be back on tomorrow from 10 to 12. We'll be joined by Kevin Bowen over in Indianapolis to get more of an idea on the Colts. But coming up next, Sabres Live, as they get ready for Sabres and Senators tonight at 7 o'clock. This is WGR.